Well, I believe I can honestly say about Brother Jerome that the flesh has grown weak. I'm not sure if he could be like me. Rather than it growing weak, it's expanded itself. I know that I'm not kicking quite as high as what I used to, but I'm still kicking.
Amen.
And that's the main thing, if we're still kicking, amen?
Amen.
All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter number 1 in the Word of God. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then Paul says, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, and ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul.
Amen.
Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful this morning that I can be in a place where the Bible is taught and preached and where people come together, Lord, for the purpose of worship. I thank You that I can be amongst believers in the house of God. I'd pray that You'd bless us today with Your divine and holy presence. I pray, Lord, that You'd draw up close to every heart and warm every soul in this place today. I pray for divine power to preach. I'd ask You, Lord, to fill me with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and holiness. I do pray, Lord, that You'd provide the liberty that's needed this morning. And I realize no preaching will be done apart from You. So we plead the blood and pray for grace, and ask for wisdom, and pray that Christ would save sinners today and stir the hearts and revive the hearts of the people of God and comfort those that are in affliction. Give us light and understanding of the text, and we'll thank You, Lord, and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. I want to call our attention this morning to verse number 7 is where I'm going to be preaching from. And where Brother Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm amazed at what Brother Steve taught on this morning. Out of the book of Isaiah in chapter number 45, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be saved, all ye the ends of the earth, and know that I am God, for there is none else. And he preached on how God, or taught on how God will deliver us out of all of our troubles. And God will. God is a present help in trouble. And as sure as the sparks fly upward, man is bound for trouble and trials and tribulation. And I'm amazed that Brother Steve taught on that in the Sunday school hour this morning. And I want to kind of follow in suit if I can and preach out of this verse this morning for a little while on the thought of beneficial testing.
Amen.
Those tests and those trials that are beneficial to the heart and the life of a child of God. And they are there before I get into my text by divine authority. And they're there in a personal way. We're all different people in the eyes of God. We all have our own personalities. And God personally designs every trial, every temptation, every trouble that comes our way is there. As our young lady sang, they're there. They come, they must come through the hands of God in order to get there. And so I want to preach a little while this morning on that thought of beneficial testing out of verse 7. Now, if you remember last Tuesday night in our last study, that we looked at the paradox of joy and heaviness out of verse number 6. That is how a person can be heavy-hearted and yet rejoicing at the very same time. Now, that is a paradox, how that we can have a heavy heart and yet rejoice at the same time. And if you remember, I said those surface things are what brings heaviness to the heart, but it's those deeper things of peace and love that bring rejoicing to the heart. And in the world, we're going to have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, there's your rejoicing, for I have overcome the world. And so we can be heavy-hearted and troubled and yet rejoice over what God's done for us. If I was in Brother Robert's shoes this morning, I'm confident I would be heavy in heart. I would be troubled about what I'm facing. If I was in Miss Stone's position, I would be heavy-hearted about what I'm facing. But at the same time, there is a deep flowing of grace down in the soul that is able to bring joy to our hearts, knowing that we've been to Calvary and been saved by the grace of God. One writer said some time ago, said a man ought to take a text and as soon as he can depart from it and head to the cross. And I'm going to say the cross is a good subject to preach on. Amen. I tell you, troubles may come our ways and we may be heavy-hearted, but I'm glad, thank God, that day I made the trip to the cross. That day changed my life for all time and eternity, ladies and gentlemen. And because I've been to Calvary, I can rejoice. As one man said, I believe as Rutherford said years ago, he said, John Bunyan said, if they do kill me, they do but send my soul to be with Jesus. Now I'll tell you, that's the greatest thing that can happen to man. Death is one of the worst things that a man faces in life. But in reality, it's precious in the eyes of the Lord. And amen, we may be troubled, but thank God that we're going home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen, Brother Hall. Now, this is possible, as I've already said, because of the mighty work of grace that God has accomplished in us, delivering us from sin and bringing us into this great salvation. I'm glad the Bible calls it a great salvation. It's not just a fact that we've been saved, it is a great salvation. Don't y'all fall out with me now, but Tony the Tiger used to say they're great. But I'm going to tell you, he didn't really know what he was talking about because salvation is really great. In fact, it's the greatest thing ever happened to old Brother Hall. I remember where I was when I was in sin and without God and what the life that I was living. I'm told, you talk about troubles now, friend. I had more troubles then than I had fingers and toes to count them all on. But oh, I'm glad one day that Jesus passed by where I was and opened my blinded eyes and let me see the glorious word of the grace of God and the majestic beauty of the cross. Thanks be unto God. I can say today that I'm redeemed by His blood. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about I've been paid for, ladies and gentlemen. My sins have been paid for and I've been bought out of the slave market of sin. I'm no longer my own, and the devil cannot lead me around. Praise God, I belong to Jesus, and He's in control of my life. Amen. Now, you just hold right there, and we'll preach a little while this morning. Hallelujah. Some of y'all might say amen. Thank you, Brother John. Now, here in verse 7, we find the purpose of those manifold temptations and the heavy heart that is mentioned in verse number 6. They're both placed there for the trying of your faith. That's exactly what Peter said, that the trial of your faith. And so they're both there for the trying of our faith. If we were to look ahead now, in this wonderful little book, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Everybody look up here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But if we was to look ahead in this wonderful little book, we'd find that our faith is going to be tried by suffering. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, that is not a popular subject. It's kind of like prayer. Nobody wants to preach on suffering. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that suffering, at the end of suffering, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you just mark it down. God is going to try your faith in many ways, but one of those ways is that He's going to lead you through that fiery trial of suffering, either in your mind or your spirit or somewhere in your family or your life. God is going to try you in suffering. Don't you ever think that the head suffered all that He did and the body is going to escape from it. Oh no, I'm here to tell you that He is going to fill up the sufferings of Christ in the body, which is the church, is what the Bible says. Fill it up. It's not all done yet. Do you think the suffering was finished when Christ died? Oh no. The head had finished his portion of it, but the body, which is the church, is still hanging around. And that suffering is going to be filled up in the saints of God. Hallelujah. Come on in the house and help me now a little bit. Amen. Trials are of many kinds. Some are very slight. But often, they are the more severely felt than the greater. Sometimes those little things are more severely felt in our life than what greater things are. And I'll mention some of that in just a minute because I want to say a couple more things. There are the little things, a little anonymous things which happen every hour of the day. Things that go contrary to our wishes. Little things that's piddling around the house and we're wanting to do one thing and something develops and we got to do something else. You know, we want to run to Walmart and shop a while. But all of a sudden, little Johnny or little Susie comes down with a stuffy nose or a whimpering and a whining or filling the diaper 15 times every time he turns around. And our little plan to go to Walmart's thwarted. Come on in the house, you know, can you right? And it's those little boxes like that that spoil the minds. I'm talking about just like little everyday things, ladies and gentlemen, that it really don't amount to a flip of a used booger, but they are the things sometimes that will try our patience more than the bigger things do. Amen. You know I'm telling it right. I'm 60 years old, and I'm telling you, a constant squall in the house bothers me. I'd be a liar and a fool to tell you it didn't. I'm glad God told us to have children when we're young. Saw Donald Trump's picture in the paper the other day. He's married to a young woman and got a little baby up in his arms. Now, that looks good. But you know what he'll do? He'll hire some babysitter to take care of that baby, and he'll just have the bragging rights of being an old man that had a baby. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Put that baby under his feet a little while, and I'm going to tell you what he'd do. He'd probably pull his hair out by the roots and pay every dime of money he had, get somebody to take care of it for him. You know I'm telling it right. Those little old things in the house, things that we want to do, and then we can't do them. We have to give up our will sometimes. I want to do this, but circumstances has caused me to do this. Amen. Well, I don't enjoy doing this, but I would really had fun doing this, but now I can't have fun. I'm going to do this, and therefore my countenance drops, my joy is gone, and I'm aggravated, agitated, irritated, and upset because I did not get what I wanted in life. Come on in the house, praise God, I'm telling you, it's preaching time, amen. You know I'm telling it right. Amen, amen. We're often disappointed in our hopes. Well, I hope I was hoping I'd have enough money to pay all the bills this month. But Lord have mercy. Something jumped up I wasn't expecting. And now I'm going to come up short a few dollars. You ever been there? Come on, you know you have. You know you have. And about that time the telephone rings and they're wanting to know when you're going to make that installment that you're late on. Well, I would have made it, but the stinking hot water heater went out. Sir, I'm sorry, I can't. I have not about your hot water heater. We want our money. And I'm telling you, it's those little everyday things that blot our hopes and our wishes and our wants and our wills so many times that God uses, ladies and gentlemen, to try us that the trial of your faith may be more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Amen. Shall be found under the praise and honor and the glory at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Sometimes we're sick in body, pain. There is pain of body and sickness. And then there's sickness of our friends. And these are all natural to us. You might as well get used to them. They're natural things to the human race. You know why? We're all children of Adam. And Adam fell, and when Adam fell, he brought all these plagues upon us. Come on in the house. They're here to stay as long as you're in the body. A man that would preach eradication of sin from the flesh is an absolute moron or a fool or a biblical idiot, one of the three. Well, I'm telling you, hey, them little bitty old things. Mother-in-law is going to come and live with us for 2 weeks. God help us. Amen. Or I got to go to mother-in-law's house and I don't want to. Amen. Come on in the house. Got to go to grandpa and grandma's and don't want to go. I'd rather go somewhere. Come on in the house. You know I'm telling it right. Now I want to try to preach this little verse to you. Just stay right with me. I've only got four little points. I want you to notice, first of all, the work of testing. That the trial of your faith. That the trial of your faith.
Amen.
What do you think there he's talking about is going to be tried? He said the trial of your faith.
Amen.
What is your faith? Is your faith not in things that you believe?
Amen.
What Peter is telling you is that God is going to test what you claim you believe.
Amen.
And if you really believe it, amen. And if you don't, you are a hypocrite. Oh, yes. Boy, it's getting quiet now for some reason. In school, I was tested on what I had already been taught and what I had learned. I was never tested on those things that were beyond my knowledge. Now, I'm telling you, God will never test you or try you on spiritual things that are beyond your understanding. He is going to try you on those things that you claim that you believe to prove whether you really believe what you say you believe or whether you really are what you say you are. He is going to try that faith. He's going to try what you claim you believe. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't believe a bunch of us really believe what we say we do.
Come on.
I really don't. Let me ask you something. You have been, everybody in here says, "Oh, Brother Hall, I believe the Word of God."
Amen.
Do you think that He's going to let you get by with that without testing you?
Amen.
To see whether you really are, to prove to you whether you really believe that Bible or whether you don't? I'm satisfied that we want to believe whatever we want to believe, and like what we don't, we're like the king in the Old Testament. We want a penknife or else. We like the good, but we don't like the bad. And if you don't, hey, I'm telling you, if you have got to take all the lamb or none of the lamb, that's all there are to it. You've got to take the lamb with the bitter herbs and the spices and eat all of him, head, pertinence, and all. Amen. I wonder if we really believe this word or not. Psalm 119:9. Some of you young folks in here. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, not ways, way, singular.
Amen.
God don't set us in ways. He sets us in the way.
Amen.
His way.
Amen.
I want to ask you something. You mom and daddies believe that?
Amen.
You young people believe that? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to what? According to God's Word. That's what. I wonder if we really believe that. I'm telling you, if we did, come on in the house, we would put it into practice and start practicing what we claim we believe about the Word of God. Amen. And don't look at me so pious. Every stinking one of us in here, bless God, we've got our problems and our faults.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Now I'm telling you, there are some young men in here that better take heed according to that book. They sit on the pews, but I'm telling you, they don't believe a thing that's written in that Bible. Because if they did, they would take heed to it, that their way may be cleansed by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Some folks got attitude problems. Some of you in here need a good attitude adjustment.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you how I give attitude adjustments to my kids. I got a good limb and switched the hind end, bless God, till it was red. Amen. Oh, well, you wouldn't do that to little Johnny or Susie, would you?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. My boy was above 16 years old the last time I laid the hook on him. And some of you bigger boys in here think you're too big to have it. If you was in my family, you're badly wrong, neighbor.
Amen.
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 I can't tolerate somebody with a better attitude. Wherewithal shall a young man... Hey, we practice what we say we believe. You young men say you believe the Bible? Get in the Bible and let it cleanse it your way. What about this in Psalm 109? I've got to hurry. Psalm 119, verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant, hey, loveth it. Let me ask you something. Everybody in here really loves the Bible? When's the last time you picked her up and read her?
Amen.
When's the last time you thanked God for it? I can tell you when. You don't know when. You don't remember when the last time you read it.
Amen.
Therefore, thou is very pure. He loves it because it's pure. If we're saved by the grace of God, God's made us pure. And we love that Bible because it's very pure. Do you think that that King James Bible ain't the Bible? Oh, I do, and it's very pure.
Amen.
Therefore, thy servant loveth it.
Amen.
I wonder today how much we really love the Bible.
Amen.
Do we cherish it?
Amen.
Is that Bible a preference or a conviction?
Amen.
I'm going to say more about that in just a minute. And I'm going to set some of you on fire when I do.
Amen.
Is that a conviction? Would you die for that Bible?
Amen.
A conviction is something you'll die for. Would you die for that book?
Amen.
Some men have been burnt to the stake because of that Bible.
Amen.
Some men have been imprisoned because of that Bible.
Amen.
Oh yes, there's some people that have died and given their life for that Bible because they love that Bible.
Amen.
I wonder if it come down to losing our possessions or that book, which one we'd give up.
Amen.
When we throw the old King James out the door and keep our automobiles and houses, and bank accounts and jobs.
Come on. Amen.
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 Is that Bible worth more than a job? Come on, I'm preaching. Some of you don't like it, but you can get over it or have a vote. What about this one? I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word.
Amen.
Have we really looked at every evil way and refrained our feet from following that we might keep the Bible? Have we exerted ourselves that we might walk in that, but come on now. I love you. I'm just trying to help us today. I'm telling you, He is going to try what you say you believe.
Amen.
Now I'm going to get off. Somebody said don't preach on things. Well, I'm going to here in a minute.
Amen.
Stay right with me. To what extent or what length do we go to keep His word? I want to say secondly. Now here's where I'm getting ready to lose some of you. About His holiness. He's going to try what we believe about His holiness.
Amen.
Looking the crowd over, just want to look at everybody. What do you believe? Hey, do you think He's not going to try you to prove whether you say you believe what you really say? The long dresses you ladies got on, are they a preference or are they a conviction? The long hair that you have, is it a preference or is it a conviction with you? Oh, I'm telling you, don't you think... Hey, don't you think those are not the areas He's going to try in things you claim that you believe? And I'm telling you, some of you are upset about it. Some of you about to fall out of it. Come on now, say amen.
Amen.
Now I won't say this, and I know this is getting ready. This is going to do the job on some of you. This will finish up the morning right here when I get ready to say this. But last Sunday morning, we had a discussion on weak brethren and the fact of beards and weak brethren. Now I want everybody to listen up there. Hey, I can't say that I have a preference about a beard. I can't find anything in the Bible that says they're wrong.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, as your pastor, I don't like them. Especially not the modern ones that look like every athlete you see in the newspaper. And every punk you see walking down the street in the malls. I don't like it. It's worldly. It's conforming to the world. Oh, somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. I'm just telling you that I don't like it. It's not a conviction, amen, but it is a preference. I don't like it. If I was a woman, I wouldn't crawl up to a man had a bunch of woolly hair on his face and kiss him. I'd kiss his picture. That's right. Oh, hair in your mouth. One of these days you get a bite of supper. You might change your tune on that stuff. Now, I know some of you men just grow them in the wintertime, and I understand that. And if I was going to have a beard, I'm going to tell you what, right there's the model example. Hey, man, you let that thing grow out woolly booger style, buddy, I'm going to tell you I don't like it at all.
Amen.
Come on now. He is going to test our holiness.
Amen.
Amen. Do we really believe how we ought to dress? How we ought to look.
Yeah.
Hey, oh brother, I've got myself in a heap of trouble now. I can tell you this. Listen what Paul said. Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners,
amen,
shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But now you're washed. Here's the word I want to get to. Now you are sanctified.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you that word sanctified means consecrated, holy. And buddy, we ought to do everything that we can do to line up with that book to be holy for the Lord. Come on in the house now. Some of you is mad before you got here. Hallelujah. Some of you is going to be madder when you leave. But I still love you.
Amen.
God is going to try and prove your sanctification.
Amen.
I talked to my brother the other night. And I have never in my life, I hope it doesn't go on here. He said they're sitting in church after church the other night, that he's talking on the fellow that's sitting on the pew next to him, and said the guy just all out, let out an oath and curse right there in the house of God. And he said, do you think a guy like that would be saved? I said, I wouldn't want to die like that.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if I let out them little cuss words, I wouldn't want to die like that.
Right. Amen.
Amen. If I listen to rock music, I wouldn't want to die listening to it.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to die listening to country and western. Old Merle Haggard and all them boys, you know, Willie Nelson. 95-year-old teenager.
Amen.
Amen. Dolly Parton and all that crowd. Oh, Brother Hall, I wouldn't even listen to the crowds. Amen.
Amen.
I wouldn't, hey, somebody said, I like that upbeat music. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why. You like it because she's close to rock. And you can listen to gospel rock and tell everybody, well, I'm listening to gospel. Gospel, gospel my foot.
Amen.
Ain't gospel a bit more than a billy goat.
Amen.
Son, you ought to hear some of that stuff we get in. I think, where'd that come from? You think God ain't going to try you on that?
Amen.
He's not going to test you on something you have never been taught or something you don't understand or you don't see. He'll try you on what you claim you know.
Amen.
He'll try you on the Bible.
Amen.
He'll test you, ladies and gentlemen, on your holiness.
Amen.
Are you really sanctified or just talk about it?
That's right.
Does your heart, hey, have you got in your heart what you got on the outside? If you got Him on the inside, He'll show up on the outside. I'll guarantee you on that. Amen.
Amen.
Better believe it, right? Well, I'm going to say, might as well hit this stuff all my tongue. Don't any of you boys dip out on the job, do you? Come on, no, surely you don't. Surely you don't put that filthy, nasty, rotten stuff in your mouth. God have mercy. Your teeth look black and yellow and green. Your breath smells like a barnyard. That old stuff is running out both corners of your mouth. Them fellas running around with them bottles. I've never in my life seen anything like it.
Amen.
We're getting anywhere today? That the trial of your faith, He will test what you claim you believe.
Amen.
Listen carefully. He'll test you what you claim you believe about the world of sin.
Amen.
John, 1 John 2:15 said, love not the world. Verse 16 and 17 said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to ask something. Are you still wrapped up in the world? You like to listen to the Wildcats play? You young folks, you enjoy cruising the mall? Well, they got to do something. Praise God, let them sit at the house and help Daddy around the home.
Amen.
Let them go fishing.
Amen.
Give them a gun, let them go deer hunting.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Turn 16, think they got to have an automobile at 16.
Amen.
Didn't none of mine have an automobile at 16? Didn't none of mine have an automobile until they can buy it.
Amen.
And pay for it and the insurance along with it.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
This old world. Well, I've done lost you. We'll go on and try a little bit. Not only the work of testing, but look at the wealth of testing. It'll change a little bit now. Look at the wealth of testing. That the trial of your faith being much, much more precious than gold that perisheth. And you know what the thought is there? Come on now, I'm trying to help us. You ain't letting me run fast, but I'm running as fast as I can preaching what I'm preaching. You know what he's saying there? He's saying that he's going to test the wealth of your faith against the wealth of gold.
Amen.
And what he says is that gold, it perishes.
Amen.
Oh, but get a hold of this. The wealth of the trial of your faith is the fact that it's eternal. Oh, it is lasting.
Yeah.
It's not something that vanishes away, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold.
Amen.
And that gold precious, but that trial, ladies and gentlemen, shall endure forever. Amen. Thank God that it's a lasting work that God does. Amen. Why? That we might at His appearing be under His praise and His glory and His honor. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'd rather shine. Hey, gold glitters, but thank God, a tested saint of God has got more shine than gold ever thought about having.
Amen.
I bought Miss Hall a ring down there in Helen, Georgia. I bought me one. I didn't wear it today. It cost me $45. Oh, and it just shines. Man, it looks like a $10 million diamond. But really, it's a little old stone come from Russia. Paid $45 for it. Now, I'm going to tell you what gold is, ladies and gentlemen. We labor for gold, but it ain't no more than a $45 stone. It's got the glitter.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, one of these days, she'll run out.
Amen.
But thank God the work that God... Woo! I'm about to get heavy, bro. That work that God does on His people. Thank God it won't glitter for a while and vanish away throughout all time and all eternity. Those that have went through the fires of testing and trial will shine and glitter, hallelujah, in heaven to the praise and the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus that died and gave His wonderful life that we might be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hala Mashande. Got a Yamaha on a Kawasaki. Tie me necktie, me bow tie. Amen. Y'all didn't think I knew where they went, did you?
Praise
God. I caught them that time. Listen carefully. Beloved, blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Amen.
For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You understand what a crown of life is? Life is living. Folks out in the cemetery, they're not living. He's going to give you a crown of life.
Amen.
I'm about to have a shouting spell.
Amen.
Amen to God. I don't know if I can get it out or not. It's in there. Come on, Lord, bring it out. Living forever.
Amen.
A crown. It's a crown is a signet of honor. It's a signet of glory. Amen. He's going to crown you, ladies and gentlemen, with glory and honor. He's got, He has got to crown you with a crown of life. Amen. A crown of glory. That you might be under His praise and honor and glory at His appearing. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Woo, and the crown of life.
Amen.
Them little old kids used to sing, I'm going to live forever, yeah. I'm going to die, no, never, no. Jesus died on a tree for me. Now I'm going to live forever. Y'all get a hold of that?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To God. It's lasting. Because it is loving. Now listen. The trial conforms us to His image.
Amen.
It's not only lasting, but at the wells of the testing, the fact that it's lasting, it's also because it is loving.
Amen.
He's going to conform us to His own image. And the Bible said, God is love. And I said, you sure didn't sound like you loved us a while ago.
Great.
I probably love you more than you think.
Amen.
I want to see you out in the victory lane. I want to see you with your shout back.
Amen.
I want to see you with the joy back.
Amen.
I want to see you with some zeal, with some enthusiasm. Choirs fell off. Come on now. Most time getting folks fully involved in meetings is like pulling hen's teeth. Got to threaten them and then beg a little while and get down and garble at their feet. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. But if we're loved like He's loved,
amen,
it won't bother us. Well, no, we'll enjoy laboring for God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That I won't say thirdly, because it is learning. Psalm 119, verse 67, 68 said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and thou doest good. Teach me thy statutes.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that those testing times, they're a learning experience for us.
Yes.
I want you to listen carefully. What this Puritan said. He said, you shall go into the woods when you please. But if you're very quiet, listen now, let's be still. If you're very quiet, you will not know whether there is a partridge or a pheasant or a rabbit in it. You can walk real slow and walk up on a rabbit setting. My cousin named Raymond Robinson, he's dead now. I've been with Raymond, and he'd get up so close to rabbits, then sitting in their nest, he'd shoot them with a .22 rifle right in their nest. Soft-footed. That rabbit wouldn't know he's anywhere around. But when you begin to move about or make a noise, you very soon see the living creatures. They rise up or they run. And so it is when affliction comes into the soul and makes a disturbance. It breaks our peace, but uprises graces. Faith comes out of its hiding place, and love leaps from its secret place. Do you hear what I said? When God makes a disturbance, that's our problem, brother. We're settled. Come on now, help me. We're settled in on our leaves at Island Ford Baptist Church, and God needs to walk down through the woods and make a disturbance.
Yes.
God needs to disturb us to our faith will raise up and our love will come out of its hiding place. Oh, yes, and God can do that by affliction, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Better believe He can.
Amen.
Most of us in here need disturbed. We've done hung a sign out on the motel room door that said, do not disturb.
Amen. Amen.
Busy about doing things myself.
Right.
Amen. Amen, Benny.
Amen.
Praise God, it's preaching time this morning.
Amen. Preach.
Disturbances will arouse those graces within you. God knows how to get our attention. God knows how to awaken us. God knows how to stir us, and God knows how to move us. And if every one of us in here would look at what's been happening in our life, we'd come to the conclusion that God is trying to do something for us by arousing us with those little foxes in our life. Telling it right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We come to church and we go home. And our prayer meetings on Saturday started last night to call the Saturday night prayer meetings to an end. Nobody interested in them. We need disturbed folks. That love that we have for Jesus is laying somewhere back in the back part of our heart. And I'm telling you, if He don't divinely disturb us,
amen,
it'll lay there and rot there. And we'll go to heaven. We'll go to heaven. Oh, we'll be saved. And I'll tell you what, we'll go to heaven in great regret. We'll meet Jesus in great regret. I'm here to tell you, if you don't give all that you can give to God, the day that you see His blessed face, it's going to be a very rude awakening for you, for me. Listen carefully. I'll be done in a minute. Number three, the weapons of His testing. That the trial of your faith, there's the work of testing. Being much more precious than gold, there's the wealth of testing. Though it perishes, though it be tried with fire.
Amen.
There's a weapon God's going to use.
Amen.
Think it not strange. Concern. Somebody said, preacher, I'm not being tried. You're not saved.
Amen.
You're lost.
Amen.
If God doesn't test you and try you, you're lost.
Amen.
I hate to say this. No, I'm afraid there's countless numbers of Baptists today that have either slid off into apathy or they're lost and on their way to hell without God. Now I want to ask you one question. Why would you want to go to hell? I told Brother Ricky and told these men last night about a new weapon our army's got. It's a non-lethal weapon, but they're not going to market it until the year 2010. It's made like a satellite dish. It sits on top of a Humvee operated by two men, and it shoots out laser beams 500 yards. And those laser beams, when they come in contact with people, I guess it's a broad thing. And what it does, it makes heats their clothing to 130 degrees, and they think they're on fire. And they drop their weapons because they think they're burning up, but really they're not hurt at all. The heat is so hot. Brother Ricky said, you ought to get one of them, bring it in here, and use it and preach on hell some Sunday morning. I wonder if that'd change any of them.
Man.
See, God may test you what you really believe about hell. Do we really believe that a man or a woman dies without God, that they'll burn in hell forever? I'm talking about burning. God will test you with fire that you may not have to go to the fire.
Yes.
Oh, I'm telling you, hell's a real place.
Amen.
God help us. Now listen carefully. The weapons of testing. I want to read you another illustration. A man says, yonder is a porcelain vase. It's just been fashioned. It is now in the decorator's hand. The vase that's just been fashioned, the man that done that is God. Then it's put in another man's hands who paints very pretty and delicate figures here and there. He paints that vase with passages of Scripture. That's the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Presently, He passes it into the hands of another who glazes it and who in turn passes it on to the third. But what is the third doing? Why, he's putting the vase into a hot oven. Sir, we exclaim, you will spoil your ware and your labor will be in vain. He just smiles at them and at their alarm. He places, he very peaceably replies, gentlemen, I will take care that the vase suffers no injury. I put it into the oven to enhance its value, for I mean thus to burn in what has been painted on it, which would otherwise wash off. There, it is finished now, he adds, And you may wash that vase for 12 months without making any impressions on the colors. They are burnt in. They are burnt in. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus paints pretty flowers of scriptures all over us as His vessels. And the Holy Ghost puts us in that oven to burn those blessed scriptures upon us that are not easily washed away. Amen. I'm telling you, without the oven, without the fire, without the trial, we're nobodies for God. But oh, as we walk through the trials, Jesus paints those scriptures on us. And the Holy Ghost puts us in the oven and burns them. I'm going to tell you something. I really believe that you remember when we went to Mexico that time and I was scared to death? And God gave me that verse, thy times are in my hands. The Holy Ghost burned that verse on this vessel. I really believe I could get on an airplane. I really believe I could get on an airplane and straddle the nose cone of an atomic bomb and let them drop me and it both on Beijing. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I'd go on to be a Jesus. Wouldn't bother me. Drop her out in the middle of... we got the boys. I think we need to bag Dad. And they already bagged Dad, so we need to get the rest of that crowd. It wouldn't bother me a bit, folks. You know why? That verse is burned there. I can never get away from it. And that God leads us through these trials, and what He'll do, He'll give us a verse to deliver us by. And the Holy Ghost will put us in the oven to see if we really believe that verse or not. And if we do, He'll burn that impression upon us. He'll never be washed away. It'll be there for all time and eternity. I'm closing now. I'm closing. I see the wages of that testing, that it might be found under the praise, the honor, and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Its outcome is this. It satisfies Him and pleases us. I'll tell you this last story and I'm closing. Man and his wife that were both saved and loved the Lord. The woman had 5 children and lost all 5 of them at birth. And when she lost her last child, her husband walked into the room where she was at and said, "Sweetheart, Jesus must love you an awful lot because He wants all of your heart." Jesus wants all of your heart. He didn't want to leave her with any part of that heart. Because it's deceitful and desperately wicked. He's the only one that can know it. And I'll tell you, He wants all of my heart and all of your heart.
Amen.
And the only way that He's going to have that is through testings and trials to prove whether we really believe what we claim to believe or whether we're play acting. Let's stand together.